Well, our investigative reporter, Linda Moulton Howe, is back with us, earthfiles.com. She's got a series of great stories. Our first one, we will talk about missing cattle from Colorado ranches. Just poof, they're gone. And she'll get into that with us when we come back on Coast to Coast. And welcome back. One of the world's greatest researchers, Linda Moulton Howe, back with us. Emmy Award winner, a television producer, investigative reporter, author, heads up earthfiles.com, and of course is a regular part of our Coast to Coast team, has been for a number of years, and she's got a number of stories. And then we wrap up the last hour of the show with conversations with Linda, where you call her with questions or stories or even tips on stories that she should investigate. Linda, welcome back.
Oh, thank you, George. And, you know, it's interesting that back in the fall of 79 to the spring of 1980, when I was working on A Strange Harvest about the animal mutilation mystery, I was down in southern Colorado in the San Luis Valley, where there were all kinds of reports of strange lights, strange things in the sky, missing animals, and bloodlessly mutilated animals.
Gosh.
Well, now it's 2018, and just a few months ago, at the end of 2017, there was a meeting in the San Luis Valley of southern Colorado by a group of held by the San Luis Valley Cattlemen's Association, and they held a meeting in Lajara, south of Alamosa, to, quote, deal with the growing disappearance of large amounts of livestock in and around the San Luis Valley and northern New Mexico, close quote.
Weird story.
Well, this is, it's been going on periodically there, but this is a new round. And they have now, they summarize that the total loss in missing livestock cases that were officially reported, there's who knows how many missing livestock go unreported because, as one person in the meeting said, quote, it's embarrassing. You don't want your neighbor to know you can't find your cattle, close quote. But this is serious. The current conservative estimate of the loss in the missing animals is $288,060. And that is a big deal to people who live in southern Colorado.
Sure, there's a lot of cattle, too.
Yeah, cattle and horses and sheep. And so what is happening? And just to give you an idea of how strange this time around these missing animals are, in October of 2017, not very long ago, a herd of 49 calves disappeared from a Creed ranch northwest of Del Norte, and they were reported missing to the Colorado State Livestock Commission. And in November, 46 cattle disappeared overnight from the Double X Cattle Company's herd grazing, yes, on the Cumbers allotment. And then in December, there were 24 cattle here, 16 cattle there, 19 cattle. They all disappeared. Now, Colorado Brand Commissioner Christopher Whitney confirmed in an interview with me on March 20th this year that at least 300 cattle are missing from the San Luis Valley ranches. So far, no rustlers have been confirmed. The mystery is still unsolved. And the reason for the late January 2018 meeting to talk about all this was concern that as this summer is now approaching, and ranchers want to put their cattle back on higher remote pastures, will more cattle go missing, and why? Here now, from Broomfield, Colorado, is Colorado's brand commissioner, Christopher Whitney.
We've actually, for the last couple of years, been looking at the San Luis Valley and the Alamosa area in particular, because they have, over the past several years, had unusual cattle loss patterns. In this case of the San Luis Valley, Alamosa in particular, this last year, there were unreasonably high losses, and there had been unreasonably high losses 2 years before that. So we were very interested, as were the local cattlemen's group and a number of ranchers and individuals in the valley, to try to put together a meeting of as many stakeholders as possible to see if we could get a better handle on the problem, to make sure we had lots of eyes on the problem, and to come up with an approach for dealing with it in the future, to see if this was just an aberration or whether this was something we needed to wrestle to ground because it wasn't normal. The Colorado brand inspectors, and I was there, and New Mexico brand inspectors, with whom we worked very closely, chaired the meeting, and people talked about what their experience had been with losses.
Well, it's my understanding that by the January 25th, 2018 meeting, that there had been over 300 missing cattle.
That's about right. During the course of the last couple of years, we've turned up about 300 missing head, but that isn't all double X. That's the entire valley, and some people have encountered more loss than others.
But by November 2017, Double X Cattle Company had lost, quote, "the largest herd of 46 was reported to have vanished from the Double X Cattle Company as they were running in the Cumbers Forest allotment."
I think that's correct. The Cumbers is their summer allotment where they run their cattle.
Have you or they, anyone, found any of those 46 missing Double X cattle?
I haven't talked to any of the brand inspectors down there in a while, so I don't know what exactly the situation is.
When you speculate about what could be happening to have this loss of 300 cattle that's not normal, what do you speculate about?
We look for any evidence of normal natural causes there might be for death or loss of animals. We look for bone piles or gut piles or something that would suggest that animals have been attacked by predators, usually bears in that country. There's some lions, but certainly bears. And then we take a look at what the evidence suggests to us and wonder whether that is sufficient to explain the scope of the problem. And in this case, the San Luis Valley, we're not comfortable that it explains the scope of the problem.
I received this notice about the late January meeting because it came from a resident in Southern Colorado saying the history of the San Luis Valley has had a lot of extraordinarily strange things happen. And I was reading the Sawatch Today, January 22nd article, quote, SLV cattlemen call meeting for disappearing livestock. And she says in this article that in talking to the cattlemen, quote, "there has always been a lot of weirdness in this valley, the San Luis Valley, about livestock mutilations," close quote. Can you explain that paragraph?
We don't deal in mutilations. We deal in missing or lost livestock in the San Luis Valley. So, you know, I'm really not in a position to comment on mutilations. That isn't to say there aren't any, but I don't know of any reports of mutilation.
Well, the emailer today sent an old 1967 newspaper about a horse that was found stripped of flesh from the neck up in the San Luis Valley up near Alamosa,
okay,
where the sand dunes and Mount Blanca are.
Yes, pretty close. Mm-hmm.
That was in 1967.
Okay, yeah. If people encountered mutilations, they would presumably call the local sheriff's office. We don't deal in mutilations. We deal in missing and lost livestock.
Right. Have you been able to find any of the lost cattle?
We found some, and we found evidence of some who have died, but we haven't put a serious dent in it yet, but we'll continue to look for them. We're doing a lot of things. First of all, the New Mexico and Colorado brand inspectors on both sides of the border will be visiting each other's territory and going onto each other's land from time to time with each other's permission to follow leads or follow tracks or that sort of thing to keep an eye on it. We've asked Castilla County Sheriff's Office and Canales County Sheriff's Office to work with us more on road stops. We already do a great deal of that with State Patrol because brand inspectors and, of course, any peace officer has the legal authority at any time to pull over a livestock trailer. So we would like more livestock trailers pulled over and the paperwork of the drivers checked to make sure that the animals in the trailers are theirs or that they have the legal authority to have them in the trailer. And beyond that, to put the word out that on a deterrent basis, if you're on the road and you're hauling a livestock trailer, there's a very good chance you'll be pulled over.
Okay. Now, do you all track these animals through numbers that are clipped into their ears or brands or?
No, the ranchers keep track of the number of animals they have in their herds. We keep track of whose animal is what. If one is lost or missing or one is found, we get the animal back to its owner. And we do that by brand records and our familiarity with the livestock in the area. Sometimes ear tags are helpful. But it's the ranchers themselves who know what the size of their herds are and what their losses are.
And it's only by the brand that is put on the body of the animals when they're young?
That's the easiest way to identify an animal, and that's why most Colorado livestock cattlemen and women do brand their cattle. We always say to them that the brand is like a livestock's return address. You put a Colorado registered brand on an animal, and anytime we see that brand, the legal presumption is that that animal belongs to the owner of the brand. So it's a very good way to get the animal back. Having said that, in Colorado, it is not required to brand your livestock.
And how would ranchers keep track of the fact that they had missing animals if they weren't all branded or had numbers in their ears or something?
This is their livelihood. They know every single animal they've got and how many they should have. These are professional people who've done this all their lives. So they're not going to lose track of how many animals they should have. They know exactly how many they should have.
So it really does stand out when the ranchers say that they are missing animals that they cannot find.
Sure. We ask them to tell us. You bet. Absolutely. When a rancher says to us, I'm missing 3 head or 5 head or 2 head, they file a missing or stolen report with us as to what's missing and whether they're branded, and if so, what the brand looks like and when they last saw the animal. And we distribute that report widely so that we can get eyes on the problem to see if we can help find those animals. So the ranchers are experts and professionals. This is what they do. So they know what their inventory is for sure.
So when the Double X Cattle Company reports that 46 of their herd has disappeared as of November 2017, that is actually extraordinary.
We take that very seriously because that's a large number. Yep.
The 46, they were in what is called the summer pastures up high?
Well, they were at the Cumbers allotment, which is where their summer range is. Yep.
And that's what, like a mountain or hills?
Yeah, hills and mountainside right on the New Mexico-Colorado border.
It's really rural, and there aren't a lot of people around there.
No, there's nobody there. It's Forest Service. It's a leased allotment, so there's nothing there.
When something happens to cattle that causes them to go missing in a very rural area where there aren't people, that is a mystery.
Well, can be. Bears could eat them. They could suffer from something called brisket, which is a high-altitude disease, which can impact some cattle. They can get regular disease. They can wander off into New Mexico. But yes, it's a mystery in the sense which one of those things happened to them.
Yeah, and we're talking now on March 20th, 2018, first day of spring in this new year. What is the progress or what is your perspective now on all of the missing cattle, and are they continuing to disappear?
No, they're down off the allotment now, so they're down on their home ranges, and they'll be going back up on the allotment at some point here in the future, but they're down on the home properties now. So they're behind fences and on home properties. We're not seeing any missing reports filed by any of these ranchers at the moment.
And you have more people out looking?
We have Colorado Parks and Wildlife and the U.S. Forest Service keeping their eyes open on their allotments when they're up there in case they see something unusual. And as I mentioned, the local sheriff's offices and the state patrol assisting us with road stops. There's signage going up around allotments encouraging people to keep their eyes open for vehicles that shouldn't be there, that kind of thing. And I think it will act as a deterrent if some of these animals have been stolen. If you're thinking about getting in the cattle rustling business, you're on notice that it's going to be a tough thing to do, and it's a felony.
What happens as we are getting near summer and that all of the animals that are down protected now go up higher, what if it starts all over again and they start disappearing?
I think the chances of it happening at this level again are slim, given the attention that's being paid to the problem in the San Luis Valley by everybody there.
Well, you know, George, ever since the summer of 1967 and that bloodless mutilation of the Appaloosa mayor lady near Alamosa in the San Luis Valley, many residents have seen strange lights, rapidly moving aerial vehicles in the skies, days and nights. This has really gone on, off and on, sort of a kind of strange cycle around livestock in the San Luis Valley. And there, when you go, or you or the audience, go to earthfiles.com and you see the big in-depth report that I have done with this half hour, you will be looking at those rare newspaper articles that I have kept all these years, going back to when the Pueblo Chieftain and other newspapers were reporting in September of, about September of 67 in their early October newspapers then, dead horse riddle sparks UFO buffs.
Amazing.
Another headline was horse killed, UFO blamed. That was in the Salem, Oregon Statesman. Those are just two of hundreds. That story went around the world. That was the very first time that there was global public awareness and media reporting about the bloodless, trackless animal mutilations. Well, that's why this is of great interest to me now, is that in the San Luis Valley, where it has going all the way back to the 60s, and some people say even back further, there have been unusual phenomena. When he laughed, when I brought up unusual phenomena, that's because everybody who lives there knows that it has this history, but why? And is there any proof, any connection between the current round of 300 plus animals that have been missing just since the late summer into the fall? Is there any link to the mutilation phenomena? And the brand commissioner and other law enforcement, they just don't want to go there. They don't want to talk about animal mutilations. It's as if you don't talk about it, they go away. But the truth is, in the next half hour, I'm going to have an amazing interview with one of the ranchers there who has been there since he was born 68 years ago, also in Del Norte, in southern Colorado, in the San Luis Valley. And he has some of the most high strangeness, and you will hear as he describes how he has been haunted by one of his disappearing cattle and the bloodless mutilation of one of his one-month-old calves. All of that is in the next half hour.
Isn't this bizarre, Linda? It truly is a weird story.
Well, it's been ongoing. I have one case. I talked with a producer at the BBC back in 79 when I started working on A Strange Harvest, and the producer told me that the BBC had found a reference in an old journal going back, like a printed journal in Australia, and that it was about 104 sheep in the year 1911 that were all found dead, mutilated, ear, eye, tongue, jaw, genitals, and rectum, all cored out.
Jeez.
In a billabong, and no blood anywhere and no tracks. Think about that.
No tracks at all. If you need to email Linda, it's earthfiles@earthfiles.com. And her website, of course, is earthfiles.com. They make sure you get there every day when you're looking at different websites, because hers is one of the best. We're going to come back with more on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you with Linda Moulton Howe, and she will continue with this strange story this hour of the disappearing livestock and cattle. Linda?
Thanks, George. You know, the San Luis Valley is so big that it contains six counties and portions of three others. And one of those counties is Rio Grande, and its county seat is Del Norte. Some people call it Del Norte. That once had a population of 10,000 people passing through on the old Spanish Trail. That was a major trade route in the 1800s between Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Los Angeles, California. And then there were gold and silver booms, and Del Norte was also summer ground for the Ute, Kiowa, Navajo, and Comanche Native American tribes. The Navajo looked 70 miles to the east from Del Norte at Mount Blanca, rising above the sand dunes there, and revered it as their sacred mountain. In this modern day, the human population is now down to 2,000, and many residents are livestock ranchers. Official Colorado statistics from 2013 report that in the San Luis Valley, there were an estimated 82,000 beef cows and calves, over 300 dairy cows, and more than 8,000 sheep. One resident there in Del Norte is photographer John McAvoy. He works freelance as a reporter for the local Valley publishing company that distributes to the local newspapers. He moved to Del Norte in 2012 and soon heard people talk about strange lights and odd craft that have been seen day and night in kind of in cycles and periods over the San Luis Valley for decades. One of John's favorite activities is to go with friends on a full moon to do a drum or medicine circle. So on December 3rd, just a few months ago, in 2017, John traveled with his friend Ken Fry, a retired archaeologist with the U.S. Forest Service, to a place called Elephant Rocks where they could watch the sunset. From there, they could look out across the San Luis Valley and watch the white full moon rise as the sky turned red and orange. And John took photographs, focused mainly across the valley on the Sangre de Cristo Mountains. Back home later that night, he transferred his camera card to his large screen computer, and he told me, quote, "When I got to one of the photos, at first I thought there were three birds flying across the image. But when I looked closer, I could see a real bird down in the far right-hand side of the photo with its wings and moving in front of the mountains spaced evenly apart are three dark disc-shaped objects that fall in the category of UFOs," close quote. Now, tomorrow I will have a very large high-resolution image of this, and I must tell you, it is eerie. The discs look very evenly spaced in this photo, and he did not see them with his own eyes when he took the photo. He only saw it on the computer. It is definitely worth everybody listening to Coast tonight to go to Earth Files tomorrow to see this large high-res photo. Well, another person who has dealt with high strangeness there and also lives in Del Norte, has been on a ranch since he was born in 1950 there. And he is now 68 years old. And he is very concerned about the San Luis Valley missing cattle because he is still haunted by what happened on his own ranch 5 years ago in the fall of 2013. He was moving his herd of some 60 cattle a couple of miles from one pasture to one closer to his home. Bob Kernan was getting ready to sell the calves. Only two of his herd were what are called Solaires, a breed of cattle originally from France that are a deep red color that Bob Kernan especially wanted, and he treated those two cows like his pets. That's why the two Solaires were amid his otherwise black cows, all black cows, two red. The Solaires definitely stood out, which makes what happened especially strange in the Del Norte environment where everyone is constantly sensitive to livestock. Here now from Del Norte, Colorado, in the San Luis Valley, is Robert Kernan.
I breed Solaires cattle, and Solaires were traditionally a cherry red. I like the color. They're beautiful animals, but because they pay more for black, that Black Angus thing has taken over all the breeds, and they pay a few more cents a pound for a black. So I only had a couple reds just for my own enjoyment, I guess you could say, you know. And this one was a three-year-old. She'd raised a real nice two-year-old calf. And when they do that, you know they're going to be a good cow. She was a very nice cow. And anyway, that's when she disappeared. I just started looking immediately. And every day for a week or two, I would drive around my ATV looking for birds or what would get on a carcass. That's usually the easiest way to find a carcass. And in the mountains, we relied on that a lot. So I did that for a week or two, and then I looked at every animal, just sure I was going to find her, and I didn't. So my search continued for a month or two to just have a 1,500-pound animal disappear like that. It disturbed me more than the mutilation or anything else that's happened. I still just don't know what could have happened to her.
Because you've never had an answer to an animal that you especially liked.
Yes. 2014, we had unbelievable cattle prices. And that year I sold my calves for $1,500 a calf, which was unbelievable, really. And that's when she disappeared. So at that point in time, right around 2014, she was worth about $2,500. So, you know, that part kind of bummed me out, too.
Let's go from the missing red that has haunted you to the March 7th, 1995 mutilation of one of your one-month-old calves.
Well, I had him on pasture to the east of me here on my neighbor's. I'd rented pasture from him. That morning I was up early and I was working on some breakfast. I looked out the window and I see my cattle. I could see over into his pasture from here. And they were in a circle over there, just bunched up. And I thought, man, that's kind of strange. And then I was going into town to get some groceries. And I was going down the road and that calf was probably 50 yards off this paved road. And the cattle had left and gone the other end of the pasture. And I seen that calf there, and I thought, oh, shoot, I probably have a sick one. Because when they don't move with the herd, usually something's wrong. So I stopped, crawled the fence, and just walked across there, had to jump a creek and go over there expecting to find a sick one that wasn't feeling right. And that's when I walked up on it. I immediately knew it was dead. Then in a few seconds, I go, wow, something's really strange here. It's really wrong.
Why? What was hitting you?
Well, it was just so opened up. Circle around the eye was gone, the ear was gone, and the spine was out of it, which it was just totally opened up. To me, first you look at it and you say, well, this is coyotes have got to it and done all this. But then the more you look at it, it's like, no, coyotes did not cut a circle around the eye or cut a circle around the ear and take the ear, you know. So then I picked it up and I took it and I put it in my pickup and I went to town to get my groceries. And when I was in the store, I run onto this friend of mine that has a few cows over on Frisco, which is a drainage that parallels ours. It's across the foothills. And I said to him, Darrell, I want to show you something. I had something real strange this morning. I'd like you to look at something for me. And I dropped the tailgate on my pickup, and he looked at it, and he says, wow. And he says, what happened there? And I says, I don't know, Darrell. So that's when I took it up to my elderly neighbor above me here that ranched his whole life. I said to him, I'd like you to look at this. He was shocked, and that's what he said. I think it's your duty to show this to the sheriff. So that's what I did.
What did the sheriff say?
Actually, it was a deputy that's now our sheriff. He's an excellent person. And it disturbed him, too. So he said, where did this occur? And I told him. He came out here same day. I took him right to where the calf was. He looked for physical signs, like car tracks. And I mentioned, could it be aliens? We just had that kind of discussion. I'm sure you've heard it many times.
What did he say?
He was being honest, I think, Linda, because even after his saying the government did it, you know, and that kind of bothered me. And that's why it was interesting to visit with you, because you're researching from that UFO aspect. And to this day, if I had to say one way or the other, I still think it was aliens or something that we, you know, that we're not aware of.
Would you take me to when you had those healthy adults that took off running?
It was in the winter, and it was a snowy winter. I'd say we had snow that was about knee-deep then. Sometimes I'd push the snow back, so when I unroll the hay, I don't lose so much in the snow. And I call them feed grounds. I go out there with my backhoe, and I'll push that snow and make them a place where I can unroll hay for a few days. They can't dig through a foot or two of snow, so I feed them good. And I was doing that, and I had all these baby calves laying out there. And they just come to the hay, and the calves like to lay down in the hay, and It was a normal day, and everything was going fine. And I go back and retrieve another bale, coming back out with the bale, and that's when they just went ballistic, just crazy. You know, I got a predator here. But it's a flat, open meadow, and there's no cover. And I'm looking, and I'm thinking there's got to be a lion in the willows or something down in that creek channel moving, or something's got these cattle crazy.
What did the adults do?
They just left that hay. I had 60 or whatever I had there, 70. There was like at least a third or more of them immediately left the hay, turned, and went looking for their calves.
Did they run?
Yeah, well, move fast to their calves. And, you know, they can know their calves by the scent. So that's how they do it. They don't look and go, oh, that's my calf over there. They go and they smell them, put their nose on calves that they think are theirs, and they can take a whiff and immediately know if it's their calf or not. So that's what they did. They run. They left the hay they were at. The whole thing kind of just disturbed me because they ignored the hay, and they immediately started running looking for their calves, and they were doing that. It's like, woo, 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 a real low. You know, it's not like a normal moo.
Mm-hmm.
It's whenever their babies are threatened, they get that. It's like, woo, 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 woo. They started doing that and run and sniff and look, and they're all trying to find their baby. You know, I must protect my baby. I'm just there on my tractor, and I was close to him when all this happened, and I'm thinking, what is going on? Because they got so animated about it. To me, that's when I'm looking in the willows. They can smell. The longer I've been around them, I just marvel at how intelligent they really are. You know, people call them dumb, but they are so wonderfully intelligent and so wonderful to each other, and I just love them. They're amazing creatures, I think, you know, and what they provide for us. But that day, I could find nothing. And it stayed in my mind. It's like, what is going on? Then when you said there's something invisible there that somehow they can perceive, but we can't.
As if there was a threat, but it was an open pasture and you could see everything and you could not see any kind of a predator, and yet the adults were acting like there was a major threat suddenly.
Exactly.
As if something that you can't see with the retina of your eyes, the animals are reacting to as danger.
Yes. Yes. And it happened so instantaneously, was just like a third to a half of them just went crazy like that. And that woo, woo, woo. I mean, when they start doing that, if you're around their calf, you better get away from their calf because they sound like a grizzly bear on the hunt. And they would probably put a hurt on anybody if they thought it was a threat to their calves. And that's what some of the bigger, older cows, the dominant cows, were doing that woo, 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 real deep. And that I've heard it, you know, and working with them, like if I'm trying to tag one or treat a sick one, and they come after you and they're making that sound, you better, you know, be careful because they're serious when they start making that sound.
Which makes then the mutilation of your one-month-old calf back on March 7th, 1995, even that more remarkable, because how did that occur with the mother and the herd there that would have tried to do damage to, let's say, a person trying to approach the calf?
Exactly. You're right on there. Out there walking around trying to cut on their calf, I don't think that's possible.
That's right. And that's why it's always been impressive to me that law enforcement that I've talked to who have been honest have told me, quote unquote, the perpetrators are creatures from outer space, close quote.
Well, to this day, I thought it was something, aliens, outer space, something not known to us that was causing this. Mm-hmm. And when I had that calf mutilated, I ended up over here at my neighbor's, and actually that deputy sheriff ended up, we sat over there till 2 in the morning and discussed things. And that neighbor, he was somewhat older than me, and he said he seen blue lights up in this canyon north of me that's near that same time.
And they were blue lights.
Yeah, he described them as bright blue lights. And, well, this Ken that you talked with yesterday, he said he'd seen something in the sky that he would describe as a UFO.
It's always covered up. And have you ever had discussions with anybody in the 58 years that you have been in Del Norte ranching about the possibility that underneath the ground, deep in the whole San Luis Valley or in the sand dunes or under Mount Blanca or Crestone, that there could be some kind of an alien presence underground there?
From what I've heard living here, you know, I don't know. And then, well, my friend Ken says the Indians call them star people.
Right.
It's their description. And, you know, Mount Blanc is very sacred to the Navajos particularly. That's where the UFO observation place is over there. And that's along that east range of the Sangres. And that's even where the Lady Snippy Horse was in that vicinity. And that's where, if somebody said in the valley, where do you think that I'd have a chance of seeing some of this activity? I would say over there, kind of where they put that UFO observation along that east range.
Near Mount Blanca.
Yeah, and Mount Blanca and then the Sangres north. And it's all along that east range over there up towards Sawatch and into the Cochetope, you know. I've heard people describe UFOs.
When I worked at Channel 7, the CBS station in Denver, one of the places in Colorado that was always talked about as having strange phenomena was this area of the Sangria de Cristo Mountains and Mount Blanca especially. I remember when I was doing A Strange Harvest, I interviewed people who had seen strange lights going in and out of the mountain and over the valley. And this missing, this current round of missing cattle, it goes over the Colorado border into northern New Mexico. And I remember when the crew and I were working on the production of Strange Harvest about animal mutilations, there were also missing animals during that whole period. And we were in the area of Dulce, New Mexico, over the border from Colorado. And there was a ranch that was owned and operated by a man named Manuel Gomez. And they had had 12 mutilations in 1 year. And one of them was a huge, approximately 2,000-pound bull.
That's a great story, Linda. And we've got more stories coming up next on Coast to Coast AM.